Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Monkeypox has arrived in the United States of America.
Yeah, it's here. The Massachusetts... I'm not laughing, I'm sorry. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health confirmed a single case of monkeypox virus infection in an adult male with recent travel to Canada. That's all, though. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Monkeypox is a rare but potentially serious viral illness. Typically begins with flu-like illness and swelling of the lymph nodes and progresses to a rash on the face and body. You don't want none of that. You do not want monkeypox. You can quote me on that. You do not want none of that. Now, I know that it's usually, you know, found in Africa, but it's been confirmed in Europe, the UK, and the United States now, and Canada, clearly. So no monkeypox cases had previously been identified in the U.S. this year. Texas and Maryland reported cases in 2021. Those people had recently traveled to Nigeria. Since early May of this year, 2022, the United Kingdom has identified 9 cases of monkeypox. The first case had recently traveled to Nigeria. None of the other cases have reported recent travel. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, so it's unclear as to how and where, for how long the virus has been spreading in the community. So they're pretty much, they're on it. Now listen, don't worry about it, because the virus doesn't spread easily between people. It can be transmitted through close contact with an infected animal, person, or contaminated materials like towels or beddings. That's it, though. Mostly through respiratory droplets, but also through contact with bodily fluids or monkeypox sores. Now, I just want to be clear. If I see you with monkeypox sores, stay away. No one wants none of that. Okay? We don't want none of that. Early symptoms: fever, muscle aches, headache, chills, exhaustion, swollen lymph nodes, as I said, and many going on to develop the rash within 1 to 5 days after the fever appears. Looks like chicken pox or syphilis. Changes and goes through different stages, with lesions eventually scabbing over and falling off. A person is contagious until all scabs have fallen off and there is intact skin underneath, though the scabs themselves can still contain infectious material. Now, it's usually mild. It goes away on its own within a month or so. Children are higher risk than adults. It can cause some complications during pregnancy, you think? Including just stillbirth and congenital monkeypox could have a fatality rate between 1 and 10%. Cases of monkeypox have been confirmed in the UK, Spain, Portugal, and now Massachusetts. More than a dozen cases are also suspected in Canada. Now, those cases weren't linked with travel. That's interesting. Now, most of the monkeypox cases, I find this interesting, most of the monkeypox cases have been found among gay and bisexual men or men who have sex with men. Now, I'm not sure why it's written that way in this Forbes article, but I want to be clear that it says most monkeypox cases have been found among gay and bisexual men or men who have sex with men. So, I mean, I thought that if you were a man who had sex with a man, you were either gay or bisexual. But apparently there's a new man out there that I'm not aware of that could have sex with man. Now, the virus is not known to be sexually transmitted, although they believe the pattern suggests this is another route of transmission. Okay, So is a group of people more likely visit sexual health clinics, for example. Oh, right. So the other people that get monkeypox don't go to health clinics. Okay. All right. You got me. Anyway, be careful and be on the lookout because monkeypox could be where you live. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Did I mention that bird flu has now jumped to mammals here in the United States as well? No, I didn't? Oh, yeah. In Michigan, the first confirmed detections of avian influenza in red foxes. Oh, okay, cool. So don't worry about it. A bird flu has just jumped into mammals. Now, it's happened in the Netherlands, and it's happened now in North America, Canada, the first part of May 2022. And now it's happened in Michigan. Now, don't worry about it, okay? The HPAI and the H5N1 viruses may occasionally transmit from birds to mammals, as occurred in these cases. There are probably going to be additional detections in other mammals during this outbreak, but they're likely going to be isolated cases. So, look, we don't know how it happened. I mean, maybe the foxes ate the birds that had the flu. We don't know. Sure, it's highly contagious and spread in a variety of ways. In some ways, we don't even know. That's great. Don't worry about it, though. Because it's fine, okay? Don't worry about it. The risk associated with avian influenza remains low. Now, we're going to advise you to avoid handling any sick or dead wild birds. And if you have to move a dead bird, you know, use a plastic bag or shovel and do so and thoroughly wash your hands afterward. But don't worry about it, okay? Sure, it could cause sudden death, a significant drop in water consumption, a lack of appetite, energy or vocalization, drop in egg production, diarrhea, swollen comb, wattles, legs, or head, nasal discharge, sneezing or coughing, abnormal behavior like difficulty walking. So if you have any of that like the bird would have, you're in big trouble. But don't worry about it. It's only been detected in backyard flocks and commercial poultry facilities in 34 states and in wild birds in 35 states. And in Michigan, the bird flu has only been confirmed in 69 wild birds. And it's continuing to spread, of course, throughout North America. So we're fine. Just quit your whining. I just wanted to bring it up. I don't know why I wanted to bring it up. I just got to thinking about bird flu being here in the United States now, aside from, you know, other places around the globe. And along with monkeypox here in the United States. They're not related. I just got me thinking about it. That's all. You know, like I saw this story about a Fundalock man. I think that's how you pronounce it. Fundalock, Wisconsin. If you look at the map, it's right there, you know. Well, here, I'll hold up my hand. Let's say this is Wisconsin, and this is where Fundalock is, right there. That's right. You can see. It's just there's Green Bay, and you drive a little bit southwest, and there's Fundalock. So anyway, there's a man there in Fundalock, Wisconsin, who holds a Guinness Book of World Record. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I want a Guinness World Record. I'm so ticked that I don't have one. So, and this guy has a Guinness World Record for eating a Big Mac every day for 50 years. And it's not even every day. Okay, it ticks me off. I mean, but hey, congratulations. Congratulations to Don Gorski, who ordered his first Big Mac at the McDonald's restaurant on South Military Road, and he hasn't looked back. Well, I mean, except for the 8 times that he didn't have a Big Mac. It doesn't say why he missed the 8 days out of 50 years, but, you know, he did. So now he's over 30,000 Big Macs. Okay, by December of 2021, 32,672 Big Macs eaten in a lifetime. Now, he said he just liked it that he has one a day. I guess he's a former prison guard, and it just works. I'm just healthy. You know, people have said I was going to die of a heart attack by 15,000, but heck, now I'm over, you know, I'm over 30,000. And I'm not lazy, so I haven't gained a lot of weight. I'm still active. I burn off all my calories. So I have a Big Mac every day, you know, except for 8 days out of those 50 years. I want to know why he didn't get his Big Mac on those days. But hey, congratulations. You know, I had a friend of mine who worked for McDonald's 100 years ago, and he was told to stop eating McDonald's. Everyone is different, Jeff. Okay, everyone is everyone's body's different. The people, there's some people that can, the outliers that can eat this stuff and live forever, and then there's you. So just remember that. I just know that my friend worked at McDonald's, and he was one of the manager at McDonald's, and he started getting sick, and his throat was all screwed up, and the doc said, "Yeah, you got to lay off the McDonald's, bro. You can't be eating there anymore." And I can't eat there. I work there. I'm a manager there. Well, you can work there, but you can't eat the food. So he went ahead and found a new job. But my point is that not everyone could eat 32,000 or, well, I mean, he's eating more now, right? I mean, we're 5 months into 2022. Today is the 19th of May, 2022. And this, at this reporting, 32,672 was in December. I mean, he's got another, 150 days under his belt? He's almost at 33,000. So congratulations to the old Fundalock man. What's his stupid name? Don Gorski, for holding a Guinness Book of World Records. Eating the most Big Macs in a lifetime. Congratulations. And I mean it. Don, if you're listening, it's not the stupid name. It's just me being jealous that I don't have a Guinness World Record. But if you listen to Chewing the Fat, you know that. All right. 93% of your life is spent indoors. But so many of our favorite moments are outdoors. The fresh air, the feeling of peace. Since warmer weather is almost here. You don't live in Texas. Warm weather is here. It's just shy of the surface of the sun temperature here in Texas right now. Let's make the most of it with Outer, the new outdoor furniture company with purposely designed furniture to get you outdoors more. Outer makes the world's most beautiful, comfortable, innovative, and high-quality outdoor furniture, all from sustainable materials, and is the only outdoor furniture with a patented built-in cover to make protecting it effortless. From teak chairs to fire pit tables, everything Outer has the look and feel of what you'd expect at a five-star resort for less than you'd pay at the big box store for something that won't last as long either. Outer's better in every way. They've spent years perfecting outdoor products. Stunning modular designs to customize your space, life-proof material with a nano coating that's water, mold, bleach, and stain resistant. Over 1,000 neighborhood showrooms across the country to see the Outer difference in person, and a triple memory foam cushions that are comfier than most indoor sofas. And if you have furniture like I had, and it's was all beat up, and you go outside on the back porch and you look at it every time and you go, oh, I have to have something new. Outer's patented built-in outer shell cover protects your furniture from rain and dew. It's the how did no one think of this before invention that made Shark Tank's Lori Greener and Mr. Wonderful fight to invest in Outer. Outer furniture comes with the best-in-class warranties, like 10 years for their chic aluminum line and a 2-week trial with free returns. Plus, when you talk about that built-in outer shell cover, they also, Outer's performance fabrics are stain, mold, and fade resistant to withstand all Mother Nature can throw at them. One more thing that's pretty cool. Outer makes these bug blankets. Lightweight throw blankets enhanced with insect shield technology. I'm a fan. of insect shield technology. See the difference at liveouter.com/Jeffy. Plus, for a limited time, get $300 off and free shipping. This is Outer's best offer anywhere. Only available to podcast listeners and only for a limited time. Get $300 off and free shipping at liveouter.com/Jeffy. 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 Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. So good. Go ahead, get yourself something to drink. So, congratulations are in order for several people, places, and things. Chris Wallace, congratulations. Going to, he just didn't get the axe from CNN Plus. He's going to have a Sunday evening show on the network, which is wonderful. I mean, they plan his new show. It's going to be great. Executives at Warner Brothers Discovery had shut down CNN Plus, but they said, no way. His CNN Plus Who's Talking to Chris Wallace will now be available on HBO Max with portions of the interviews he conducts with various newsmakers broadcast on CNN on Sunday evenings. So I didn't think he wanted to do any of these newsmaker. Well, I guess he can. The definition of newsmaker is a pretty broad term. So, you know, it might not be all politics. But look, part of the CNN brand is respectful, authentic, and impactful interviews. And one of the best interviews in the business is Chris Wallace. Chris and his team have developed an engaging and compelling program that we're excited to bring to HBO Max. Are ya? And include in our CNN Sunday evening programming. Are ya? So we'll see. We'll see how long it lasts. That's a tough night, although it's up on HBO Max. If he can get some of the big interviews. You've got the, you know, I was asked on Twitter at JeffyJFR about how, you know, they said how, what are the odds, you know, how long does he make it? And you think he's got to make it through the elections, right? He's got new elections coming up now, and then you've got the presidential in 2024. So, I mean, he might make it through there. You never know. Good luck. I'm sure it'll be great. I doubt that there'll be an interview that Chris does that I will click on as a subscriber to HBO Max, but it's possible. You know what? It's possible. Congratulations are in order to Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon has said that he has now looked into, he's had a vasectomy consultation. His quote is, ain't looking to populate the earth completely. Good for you, Nick. he's 41 now, and he has plans. Now, he hasn't gotten one yet. He has plans to get a vasectomy. He's got 10-year-old twins with ex-wife Mariah Carey. He's got a 5-year-old Golden Sagan and a 1-year-old powerful queen with Brittany Bell, 9-month-old twins Zion Myoxalidian and Zillion Air with Abby De La Rosa. He also is a father of a child with Alyssa Scott, son Zen, who died December 5th after being diagnosed with brain cancer. He's also expecting his 8th child later this year with model Bray Tessa. So my man is taking care of a little business around Hollywood. Good for him. And he said he already went for the consultation. Again, I give you his quote, I ain't looking to populate the earth completely. But I'm definitely looking forward to taking care and loving all children that I currently have. And it was sad about his son Zen. And I saw his first show actually when he came back after the death of his son, and it was really touching. And I was, you know, I get it. It was really hard to go through something like that. But you know, been there, done that. You don't want none of that. But I find it funny. I you know, the vasectomy is a strange thing. I you know, you want to have it. But there's an argument to be made that it takes a little bit of your manhood away. But what do I know? Also, congratulations to Taylor Swift are in order. This is a congratulations segment here on Chewing the Fat. Taylor Swift is now an honorary. She's a doctor from NYU. She got her honorary doctorate at NYU. And she quoted herself. Oh, this is a quote from Taylor. "I am a doctor now, so I know how breathing works." She was encouraging deep breaths as she got her honorary doctorate. So congratulations to Taylor. Dr. Swift. Congratulations. And the U.S. women's soccer team, congratulations. They announced a landmark deal. They're going to pay men's and women's teams equally. Well, isn't that special? Yes. Don't forget they had the big employer saying they were getting as little as 40% of the men's salary. Yeah, no, they were making, actually they were making more when you look at what they were being paid. The men were just making more in revenue from advertising because more people were watching. It didn't matter about your stupid World Cup titles. The men were making more money, but that's a wash now. So the women's and men teams will combine and split prize money from international competitions like the World Cup. They'll also get equal pay when it comes to appearance fees, game bonuses, and more. Yay! And the deal makes the U.S. the first soccer federation in the world to make that move. And I would not necessarily hold my breath for the other soccer federations to make that move, but, you know, what do I know? Oh, and congratulations to the St. Petersburg Police Department who have made a space for a new deputy sheriff in Pinellas County. I know for years, St. Petersburg Police Department and the Pinellas County Sheriff's Department has had their, you know, they've been butting heads over, you know, over their departments. And Pinellas County Sheriff's Office has grown, and the St. Petersburg Police Department has grown, and they're, you know, they're good police departments. But they just pulled over a deputy sheriff the other night, and they arrested her because she showed signs of impairment by having an odor of alcoholic beverage on her breath. So either she was, now according to this, she slurred her speech, blank expression, bloodshot, glassy eyes, and she was unsteady on her feet. She agreed to perform the field sobriety tests, but performed them poorly. Officers say that she submitted to a breath sample, which indicated she had a BRAC of 0.206/0.219. I'm not sure, breathalyzer alcohol test, but they can arrest you driving under the influence with a 0.15 or greater. So, yeah, she was, you know, definitely impaired. But I will say, and she, of course, immediately was terminated following the arrest, which is consistent with Pinellas County Sheriff's Office policy. So I'm not sure if she'd, been driven home before from police officers, and this was the last time. My guess is the St. Petersburg police officer that arrested her, maybe soon working at the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, because there happens to be an opening. I mean, what are you going to do, say no? Oh no, Jeff, they're doing their job and they're keeping the roads safe, and you should thank them for pulling her over on 4th Street in St. Petersburg. You know that at 1:03 in the morning, you know you're drunk, are you? Okay, all right, I know. Thank you to the St. Petersburg Police Department. That's what I was saying. Congratulations. Thank you. Congratulations for creating a space for you to go work for the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. That's all I was saying. So I mentioned my Twitter account, at JeffyJFR. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram, Jeff Fisher Radio. You can email me at chewingthefat@theblaze.com anytime. If you want to be a contestant for What's the Lie, be sure to email chewingthefat@theblaze.com. Or if you want to comment, like this comment from Michael. "I think people are missing the bigger picture here. They're talking about, hey, Elon chickening out on going to have to buy Twitter $1 billion and get out of the deal, or pay Twitter $1 billion and get out of the deal. The deal goes both ways. Twitter's financial statements say 5% or less bots. If it's really significantly more than that, it qualifies as a false filing by a publicly traded company with the SEC. At that point, Elon gets $1 billion from Twitter, laughs as the company burns to the ground as he walks away. You might even get to use the Canon theme again. Oh, man. Oh, okay, that might be fun. I'm getting tonight's episode, Twitter burning. Tonight's episode, burning Twitter. I'm guessing by the time Elon gets to what he is convinced the real number, it'll go down like this. If the real number is between 0 and 10%, he probably just goes through with the deal. 10 to 20%, he changes the price to $44.20 a share, says you can deal with me or the SEC, and they will take it. Greater than 20%, Elon backs out. The share price collapses, the shareholders sue the board, and the SEC get involved, and Elon eventually buys Twitter in bankruptcy court if there's anything left worth buying. There will be something worth buying. I mean, no question. I mean, at that point, I mean, I might just say, I'll give you 20 for the whole thing. There's always going to be something worth buying, right? I mean, you could turn this thing around. It's Twitter. Come on now. Even at, it might, you know, it obviously is not worth what they had been claiming that it's worth. But even if it, you know, they go into bankruptcy, I mean, there's something there to purchase, no question. I got another email, too. I had talked about on my chewing segment on Pat yesterday about the space balloon people starting to go up into space, and you can go and listen to that during the Pat Unleashed show on Wednesday. But I had reached out to them through their question and answer bot on their website about weight limits, because, you know, I want to know about fat guy seating on these things. And so they got back to me. The computer was like, ooh, I'll send your question to a real person. I don't have an answer for you. And so the real person got back to me. And I said, hey, I was talking about your company and the future on my show. I was wondering the weight limit. I discussed from time to time fat guy seating on all things travel. They replied, we are currently in the engineering stage of our capsule development, so weight limits have not been confirmed yet. I will give you an update once this has been determined. Well, thank you, Catherine. That's really nice at the old Worldview Space Enterprises. That's awesome. Thank you for getting back to me. And I think I just helped in creating some fat guy seating on the balloon rides. So, you are welcome, is what I'm thinking right now. And I told you on this show, I was the first one to tell you that Jeff Bezos was, you know, trying to mimic Elon, and, you know, he's been doing stuff on Twitter trying to prove that he's smart too. And now it's everywhere. I see the New York Post is talking about it because he's trying to be Mr. Quipper on Twitter. Stop, Jeff, honey. No, okay. You're not funny. Okay, that's the problem. He is so jealous of Elon, and, you know, Elon's been tweeting, and he's even replied to a couple of Elon tweets trying to be funny. And, Elon had tweeted about how Democrats and Republicans should not act like an a-hole to moderates. Bezos, senior, refer to yourself as a crap poster, S-H-I-T poster, but maybe you're mostly just a wise poster. What are you talking about? And then he responded to a tweet from someone who had tweeted Bezos, hey, can you invite Billy and I onto your yacht with Lauren? Now, this Twitter account, this Dow2We, only has like 21 followers. So it's not even, there was not use of his time to reply, except that he wants to try to be funny, and he's not. So the tweet is, hey, can you invite Billy and I onto your yacht with Lauren? I'm trying to see that fine piece of ass in person. So you just got to let those go. You just let them go. But he can't because he's not funny and he doesn't get it. He replied to the tweet, thank you. I've been working hard on my ass. Okay, so is it funny? I don't know. It's just, Jeff, what are you doing? Do we need to hear that from Jeff Bezos? I don't know. You know, just he's trying to keep up with Elon, and he just can't. I will say, though, that Lauren has been doing well with the plastic surgery since the affair has begun with Jeff. I mean, she ruined the marriage, which was probably over anyway. Don't get me started on that. I got it. But she's definitely put some of the Bezos money into a plastic surgeon's pocket. It's just me? Maybe not. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I do. And I will say, reading the tweet out loud, I might have to back up my thought and say, you know, Jeff, that was kind of funny. As I read it out loud, I started thinking that's kind of funny. So could you invite Billy and I onto your yacht with Lauren? I'm trying to see that fine piece of ass in person. Thank you. I've been working hard on my ass. Yeah, I mean, it's a good comeback. I got to give it to him. And now that I read it out loud, I got to give it to him. So, you know, what the heck do I know? And for those of you feeling bad for Matt Lauer having to sell his Hamptons estate, I know we've seen pictures of Matt walking out and about, and he just looks downcast, and he's just bummed, and we don't know what to do with himself anymore. Well, he finally sold his estate in the Hamptons. We're not sure the exact price that it was sold for, but he put it up for sale in 2019 for $44.8 million, and then he put it up again for sale in 2021 for $43.99 million, so he's dropping the price a little bit. Somebody may have walked away, you know, with $40 million or $39 million. Now, the estate was formerly owned by actor Richard Gere. You know, congratulations to Matt for owning the former Richard Gere home. Now, it's a pretty beautiful place, actually. It's referred to as Strongheart Manor. 12 bedrooms, sits on 6.3 acres of land, offers a renovated kitchen, has 60-foot heated pool, a gym, basketball court, and, of course, stunning views. Plus, the property is energy efficient and geothermal. So it's definitely a house of the hoity-toity. Now, okay, this is where it gets you. Don't feel bad for Matt. He'll be okay. I know he's been divorced. And, you know, he's a disgraced TV host. Is he? Okay. But he's still living nearby. He got rid of this dump and moved into a 25-acre estate in Sag Harbor. And the wife is going to keep the equestrian facility, Brightside Farm. So it's okay. They finalized their divorce in 2019 with a $20 million settlement. And so it's okay. We'll see. He'll be okay. I know we saw him, you know, just looking with his head down and a sweatshirt on. And just, you know, times are tough. But I know he had to move to the 25-acre estate in Sag Harbor. You can't live in Strongheart Manor all your life. Can you, Matt? No, you can't. And then you go over to the other coast. I see another house of the hoity-toity. And they want $127.5 million for this Malibu compound. Now, the house is beautiful. But I will say, I was like, what? I think we're going to have to drop the price a little bit. Okay, I think it's up for sale now just because she wants to sell it to the WhatsApp co-founder Jan Combe. I think that's all she's doing. Yep, you know what? I'll put it up for sale for $127.5, and then the WhatsApp founder will buy it, and then just give me the money because they want the property. It's a 3.5-acre estate overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The neighbors on two of the properties already owned by WhatsApp co-founder Jan Combe. So she's already, there's a Combe, K-O-U-M. Jan, K-O-U-M.
Amorphophallus.
I don't think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, it's a beautiful home. There's no doubt about it. 11,000 square foot compound built around 2000, located in the, you know, Paradise Cove Enclave, 3.5 acres on a bluff overlooking the Pacific Ocean. It has a large four bedroom house as well as two small guest houses. So you can't be expected. I mean, you can come over and stay, but you can't live in the main house. No, you're in one of the guest houses, okay? We just can't have that. So it was owned by the father of this lady, the self-storage, public storage magnate, the guru of the... He started the self-storage public storage in 1972. Wow. I mean, I made a fortune with that, man. Wow. B. Wayne Hughes. Wow. And she, that's her late father, Miss Gustafson. She's on the board now, lives in Kentucky. She's only worth about $8 billion. So, you know, just wanted to get rid of this dump, okay? Now, she knows that the WhatsApp co-founder, Jan K-O-U-M.
Amorphophallus.
Again, that's not how you pronounce it. Has bought up all the property around for like $190 million. So she's just putting this up, trying to, you know, dump it off on the WhatsApp founder. No question. So, you know, maybe, and WhatsApp hasn't commented on it. Maybe WhatsApp comes in and says, look, here's $100 million. All right, I'll take it, but I'm not giving you the $127 million. Okay, not going to happen. But it doesn't have a pool. I know. It's just amazing. Now, it was described as a contemporary villa. The main house has a screening room, dining room, and large terraces. The living room with a fireplace, large kitchen, opens to an outdoor dining area. One of the guest houses has a space that could be used as a ballet studio or gym. And the grounds also include a tennis court. The home also has an unusual advantage over many Malibu properties, as it has a winding path, allowing the owner to drive a golf cart or a small vehicle down to the beach. Yeah, that shouldn't be there. The house was owned by Kenny Rogers, and Kenny built the path, and he didn't get a permit or anything. He just built it. You know, I just built it, and they fined him like $2 million for installing it. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Here's the $2 million. Get out of here. Yeah, I'm fine. But the path is still there. So that's kind of cool. I kind of like that. I kind of like that move by Kenny Rogers. Just build it. This feels better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. If you ask for permission, they'll never let you do it. Just build it. Have the construction guys come in, build a path. I want to be able to drive a car or a golf cart down to the beach. Okay? Sir, we aren't getting any permits or anything. That's fine. Just build. You got to have a permit. Just build it. Kenny, we're going to have to fine you $2 million. Okay. Nah, here's $2 million. Get out of here. I still have my path. So good luck to that. But the whole thing, see that? The photos of this property where it's at is just gorgeous. But there's no pool. I mean, okay, I'm not giving you $127 million for something that doesn't have a pool. No, sorry. That's not happening. Remember the lady that jumped into the monkey enclosure at the El Paso Zoo and fed them Cheetos? Well, we talked about it. It's been about a year now, and it's still ongoing. And she was arrested, lost her job, and she was, you know, received harassment online from people concerned with the wealth of the monkeys, and now she faces a pending criminal trespass case. I don't think they're going to charge her with anything. I mean, it's been over a year, and they're still looking into it, but she just did an interview with an El Paso television station, ABC 7, and she works now for another attorney who gave her a gig and is happy to have the case and all the promotion around it. So she visited the zoo with a friend, remember, and then another zoo guest videotaped her climbing over the 2-foot fence, entering the spider monkey enclosure, crossing the 3-foot deep water moat, and then she sat on that rock and she fed the monkeys Cheetos, and then she walked back out, and she just wanted to hang out with the monkeys for a little bit. She said, I don't know why I decided to go into the enclosure. I just did, you know. Now, I don't want to say too much because there's a pending criminal lawsuit and I don't want to talk about it, you know, all that much, but I don't think I did anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I did not hurt anyone. So the zoo is still pissed, okay? They're saying, you can't feed the animals Cheetos. Why not? You know, no animal was ever abused, and there's plenty of videos, you know, online that show monkeys consuming all types of human food. But they contend that the monkeys, while they looked excited and happy, no. Okay, the people who know the monkeys say they were actually upset. And you can tell. When you watch the video, you can tell that they were really upset. Were they, Doc? Were they? The chief veterinarian at the El Paso Zoo? Were they? Now, she goes on to say in this interview, the doctor, Dr. Millen, M-I-L-N-E?
Amorphophallus.
No. Yes, Dr. Amorphophallus. That's who is the doctor at the El Paso Zoo. She's the chief veterinarian at the El Paso Zoo. She says the monkeys have special food, the fruits and vegetables and primate biscuits. And on occasion, we treat the animals to such things like, you know, Jell-O, peanut butter, Cheerios, but not Cheetos, okay? What the real crime here is that she went into the enclosure. And, you know, the monkeys, even the handlers, don't get that close. Why not? I thought the handlers were supposed to be taking care of these animals and loving them. We see the zookeepers hugging and rubbing on all kinds of animals in the zoos. What the hell? No one supports zoos more than this show, Chewing the Fat. No one. And me. And no one supports zoos more. But I will say that, you know, I don't think it harmed the monkeys any. All right? And as she claimed, our girl, Lucy Ray, lose to her friends, you know, the monkey enclosure climber. She claims that there was no sign saying that she couldn't climb into the monkey enclosure. They show in the news report a sign. I don't know when that was put up. I'm sure that her attorney is on it, though, to find the date. And they adjusted the height of the fence of the enclosure now. So the barrier is, you know, taller and a little bit different. So it makes it more difficult for someone to climb into the enclosure. So we'll see what happens. You know, when they asked her, I'm not apologizing. No, I'm not apologizing. And they said, did you learn any lessons from the incident? I learned just to keep the Cheetos to myself. I can't share. So she was arrested for the criminal trespass, and so spokesman for the department said the investigation into Ray's case is still open a year later, and that means the district attorney's office cannot prosecute the criminal trial until they are handed all the evidence and facts from the police. So if they keep it open and they don't have to say, no, we won't prosecute, because I'm guessing that we don't want to prosecute this girl over just jumping into the monkeys, because nothing bad happened. She jumped in and she gave the monkeys a couple of Cheetos and we've moved on. So who wins in this battle? I just make it go away. She's already lost her job. She's already working for another. I mean, she's got another job and I guess she's happy working for this guy. He's definitely happy that she's working there. You know, he's getting all kinds of coverage on this case, especially in the El Paso area. But, you know, I mean, we're going to try this girl for feeding a Cheeto to a couple of monkeys? Come on now. Stop. I mean, I don't want everyone climbing into the spider monkey enclosure. Believe me, I told you, I support zoos, you know, 100%. But if you felt the need to jump into the monkey enclosure and feed them a Cheeto and nothing bad happened, so be it, right? Right, of course. And one last thing that I'll leave you with today, something to think about, just something to think about from Chewing the Fat and Dr. Peter Diamandis, okay? Dr. Peter Diamandis. By the end of the decade, you know, we're halfway through 2022, so by 2030, by the end of the decade, there will be two kinds of companies. One, those who fully utilize AI, and two, those who are out of business. Think about it. I mean, the robots are a-coming.
Oh, that's not robots, Jeff. That's AI. Don't you know that? That's artificial intelligence. That doesn't mean robots. That just means things that, you know, are robotic-like. That's all.
I know. And we'll soon be one. We'll soon be fully one with machine. Man and machine melded together. It'll be a wonderful thing. You know it will. I've got nothing else to worry about, so the robots are a-comin'. What was that? They're already here?
Well, answer the door then. Let them in.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.